Galatians chapter number 4. Galatians chapter number 4. If you would stand with me as we read the scripture tonight. Galatians chapter number 4 and verse number 3. We'll start. Read two verses tonight. Galatians chapter 4 to verse number 3. The Bible says, "Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Let's pray this evening. Dear Lord, we love you, and I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the freedom to continue to be in church, to have a church, to be able to go soul winning, to be able to preach, Lord. And I pray that you would help us to not never take that for granted. We love America, Lord, and I pray that you would be with our country this year, Lord, that you would see an awakening, Lord, that you would send revival to our churches, and that you would do something special, Lord, this year in 2025. And I pray that you would just help us as Christians, Lord, to set the example, to be a light to our area, Lord, and to be an example to the world, Lord, of what it means to turn this world upside down for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. We just had Christmas time, and I hope you had a wonderful time with your family and friends and whoever you celebrate Christmas with. I was glad to be able to come, and we haven't come for all the years that I've been married to my wife, and we haven't been able to spend a Christmas with her family, and so we were excited to be able to do that and brought the whole family up to Michigan this year for Christmas and had a good time, about 24 of us in the house there, and that was fun for the time. And we're glad we're out of there. No offense, but we were all ready. We said this, we're good, and that was enough time. And we've done the same at our home. And after a little bit, you're like, okay, back to normal. Let's all get back to normal, right? And but it was good. We had a great time with them. But I love Christmas time. I don't think anybody I know hates Christmas time. You find those movies, you know, and the funny movies of guys that hate Christmas because of some weird reason, and you know, then it's like these are like Hallmark movies, right? Then it's like the girl trying to convince him, you know, why, you know, all the good things about Christmas, and then at the end they finally get together and he loves Christmas. But I love Christmas, and I love everything about it. And there are obviously many things that we can love about Christmas, songs and traditions and the decorations, and Brother AJ is trying to really hardcore to bring the decorations anywhere he goes. And this year we started, and I don't know if you guys want to think about starting it around here, but we started this year a Christmas lights, we called it Christmas lights extravaganza at our church, and so it's a competition. And so anybody in the church that wants to decorate their house, the outside of their house, they send it to an email at the church, and then they show them on the screens all day on two different Sundays this year, and everybody votes, and you can fill out a card, or you can vote by a QR code and all fancy like that. And and so this year I got into it. I was like, all right, it's going to be a competition, then yeah, I'll get into it. And so I built a bunch of cutouts, and you know, I won one of the categories. Brother AJ, that's only because Brother AJ left. If he would have still been there, then it would have been no comp. Oh, I would have beat him because he didn't have the classy view yet. He has the, we did three categories. We have the most whimsical, which is like, you know, fun and creative and, you know, just kind of, if you want, like Disney characters, wicked, and all that kind of stuff. And we did best overall, which we have a guy in our church who was trying to compete with Brother AJ. I think Brother AJ still would have beat him, but he's going all out. Every year he comes and tells us how many number of lights he has. I don't know how he keeps track of. He's like, well, it's up to like 3,000 or 6,000 something. It's probably way more than that. But he's got the number on the money. Anyway, he won the best overall, and then we have the classy, the you know, traditional style. And that's the one I went for because I'm like, I'm a Christian. I'm a Baptist. You know, we're going to stick with traditional and classy. I'm just kidding. And I got on our pastor because he didn't go for the classy. And he doesn't know this yet, but I was building him a manger scene and I didn't get to finish it before I left. And he still doesn't know. So pastor, don't send him this sermon yet. And I was going, because he was going for the whimsical and everything. So I was going to build him a nice manger scene to go with all of his whimsical, and it was just throw it all off. And Anyway, I love Christmas. I love everything about it. But you know, the main thing we think about with Christmas, and especially as Christians, is the true meaning of Christmas and why we celebrate Christmas. And that is truly the reason that Jesus came for one purpose. He came to die. He came to die for you and for me and for this whole world. We know the verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus came for one reason, it's to die. When Jesus came, he lived that sinless life, and there was many times as Jesus was on this earth that they were trying to kill him, even while he was, you know, just living and going about and doing miracles and all these different things. And Jesus willingly, at a certain time, when he was ready, was willing and gave his life for you and for me. It wasn't something that God the Father had to force him to do. And as you read through the New Testament, and as you read through the crucifixion and all that took place in that time, Jesus could have, and I love that song, he could have called 10,000 angels, right? He could have at any moment decided, you know what, this isn't worth it. This is too much. I'm going to go through too much pain. He knew exactly what he was going to go through. And yet he was willing to give himself for us. And just an incredible example to us. If you would, go with me to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 53. I want to read this passage to you. I appreciate the songs tonight sung and went right along with our text tonight, what we want to talk about. And Isaiah chapter number 53, I want to read this passage to you before we get started mainly tonight. Isaiah chapter 53, and I'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquitted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any decent in his deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." Man, if you read that and you don't get stirred and you don't get overwhelmed by, man, what Jesus went through for you and what he took on him, he took the sins of the world. He put everything on his shoulder just for you, just for me. And he would do it if it was just you. If you were the only person on this earth, he would do it for you. He'd take your sin, he would take your iniquities, he would take your transgressions, and he would put them on himself. That passage just goes through exactly what Jesus did for you. He took everything that you had and laid it on himself. And just an amazing thing what Jesus did for us. But he was born to die. He was born to die for you and for me. If you're saved here tonight, the term that we use as Christians is "you're born again." We are born again. We have been adopted into the family of God. If you've accepted the gift of eternal life, you are now a child of God, right? And you are now born again. Jesus talks to Nicodemus about that in John chapter 3, and how Nicodemus asked him, you know, what shall man, what does this mean to be born again? Am I supposed to go back into my mother's womb, right? And Jesus explains to him, you know, you're supposed to be saved, right? You need to have a new birth and enter into the family of God. And that's the idea that as we as Christians, we tonight, if you, and I'm assuming I'm speaking to mainly born again people here tonight on a Wednesday night, we are born again. We have been bought with a price. We have something that the world does not have. And I tell you tonight, we who have accepted this free gift of eternal life, we owe Jesus everything. You owe your Savior, the one who adopted you, who brought you into the family of God, who bore your iniquities, who took away hell for you. He has done it all, and you owe Him everything. You owe Him your life tonight. And tonight I want to say, we owe Him everything. You see, Jesus made a way when there was no way. He made it possible when it was impossible. He became sin who knew no sin. He loved us before we loved Him. He proved His love for us before we could ever prove our love for Him. He thought we were worth it even though we would reject Him. He came unto His own and His own received Him not. He paid a debt we could never pay. He chose you and me over the splendors of heaven. He chose a cross over the streets of gold. He chose to be mocked over being praised. He chose to be spit on over the gates of pearl. He chose to be born in a stable, and He chose to live amongst the lowly. He chose a hard road, not an easy one. This is who died for you tonight. Jesus chose to die for you. He chose to be born just to die. That was the goal. That was His whole mission. And tonight, I want to preach on this subject. Tonight, we are born to die. You are born again to die. You've accepted the gift of eternal life. You have this freedom. You have the ability to go to heaven when you die. You don't have to die and go to hell. And you have a life that Jesus wants to give you now. He wants to give you something. He's already given you eternal life. But now Jesus wants to offer you something that is more than what you've ever had, more than what we've ever had. Maybe before you were saved, maybe you lived a life that was in the world. Maybe you lived a life that was living, doing the things that the world teaches, right? Doing the things that the world thinks will make you happy. That you know, that they advertise on TV and all the different things that if you live like this, which are media, right? Our Hollywood stars and basketball stars. They want you to live like that. And if you live like that, man, you're gonna have a life. You're gonna have the life. And our young people can be fooled so easily by the show and the TV and the things that the world really advertises. And God says, that's not the life. That's not the life that I have for you. And God tonight, he's died for you. He's given everything for you tonight. But tonight, we are born again, yes, which means we have been adopted into the family of God, and praise the Lord. But now we must understand that if we want the life that God has for us, we must die. Not a physical death, not a death like our Savior, but a death to self, a death to our own ambitions, a death to our own desires and wants. God wants to mold you into something amazing, but He can't do it unless you get out of the way and let Him take control. And tonight, I want to talk about this idea of being born again to die, being born again to die. Number one, this dying requires faith. This dying requires faith. If you would, you can turn there, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, a verse that we know very well. The Bible says in Galatians 2 verse 20, it says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I tell you tonight, there's nothing easy about letting go of your own ambitions, your own desires, the things that you've maybe wanted out of life, and the dreams that you've had in your life. And we have, and everybody has dreams and ambitions and wants and desires and things that we kind of see out of life. We see life in a way, and God sometimes looks at it and laughs, right? And He says, "That's it. If you give it over to me, you just see what I can do." And we are so foolish to think that we have a much better plan than God, right? But God, he wants us to give our life over to Him. In this verse, He talks about, I'm crucified with Christ. I'm giving my life. I want to make sure that my life is just as dead as Jesus was on the cross. I'm going to give my life over. And it says here, after I give my life over, he says, I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God. He says, I'm not living it on my own. I'm not living it because, you know, I can handle, you know, everything. No, I'm living it through the faith of the Son of God, because I have faith that he can take care of things much better than I can. And if we get out of the way and just understand, man, put your faith in God. Let him take care of it. Let him have control. Let him take the wheel. There's a song about that, I think. But you can let God have the wheel in your life. And it reminds me of an illustration. My wife, this summer, we went on a little trip, and we decided to go to Yosemite. And Yosemite's there in California, and it's a very big attraction place, if you've ever heard of it. And anyway, we decided to first drive to see the big trees, and they were the big redwood trees that we hadn't seen this area specifically before. And the way to Yosemite from our house was very easy. Just take the freeway, and then you'd go on the back roads for a little bit, and you'd get there. Well, first we went to see the big trees. I never had gone the direction that we had went to before, never been this area. And we went to the big trees, and they were, all right, we better hurry, take off, go to Yosemite. And we started heading to Yosemite, and it gets dark. We were in the summertime, so it got dark around 9 o'clock, 8:30 or so. And I think we started heading that way around 8 o'clock or something. And about 5 o'clock. And all of a sudden, we start going on this drive, and there's just a massive canyon. I mean, and we are right on the edge of this canyon and driving back and forth, zigzagging, the switchbacks back and forth, and nobody else is on the road. We're like the only ones on the road. And if you're driving the way that we were driving, we weren't the ones close, you know, we were on the side closest to the wall, you know, we were on the side closest to the drop. And we're driving, and it's like, here's the line that you're supposed to, you know, be on this side of, and then there's about that much space, and then the drop. All the way, and we're driving, and my wife was terrified, and I've never seen my wife so terrified in her life, and she did not have a lot of faith in me. I was driving. I'm very, you know, I can tell myself I'm a pretty good driver, you know, and I have a lot of faith in me driving, and you know, I'm telling her the whole time, baby, it's gonna be okay. I got it. I could probably say, you know, I said like 100 times, I got it, you know, like, it's okay, babe, I got it. Put your hand on the steering. No, it's okay, I got it. You know, I'm trying to drive the best that I can. I don't know, I'm like going so slow. I felt like, you know, I'm going to crash going this slow, you know, but we're going, and it seemed like every turn that you would take, it would just right on the other side of that, just look, you know, just a straight drop, and she's just, and she's just, you know, bending down and terrified anyway. But with that idea, she did not have any faith in me. She was very terrified that I was going to, you know, we were going to jump off the cliff and, you know, die that night. And it was getting close to dark, and it just kept going and going and going. And it didn't seem like it was going to end. I think we were driving it for about an hour and just continuing to go back and forth. It's still the scariest drive I think I've driven. I kept wanting to stop, though, and take a picture because the sunset was coming, and it would look beautiful. And I was like, babe, let's just stop right here. No! And she was terrified. So I didn't get a picture. You don't have TVs, I would put it up for you. But it was beautiful. Anyway, but the drive was incredibly scary. And sometimes I think about that with life. You know, life can be, we can go through the canyons, we can go through the valleys or the you could say mountains, but the hard times of life where we don't want anybody else to have control. You know, if my wife was in the driver's seat right there, I would have been freaking out too. Way more than she was. Oh, no, we are not doing this. Stop the car, get out, I'm driving, right? This is not happening. I can barely let her drive to church for me. And she knows when she comes and picks me up, we're switching, I'm driving. And that's not because I don't trust her. I just like to drive. I like to be the one driving. And this is the message for me tonight. But I like to be the one driving. And as human beings, we like to be the ones driving. We like to be the ones in control. We like to know what's next. We like to know what's on the horizon. We like that. But God says, no, 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 that's not how I want you to live. I don't want you to be the think that you have it in control, that it's all in your hands, and you can take care of this. He's like, I can take care of it. I got this. God's telling us that over and over again. I got this. But we continue to freak out, if I can say that for my wife. We continue to panic, right? And to not want, we want to hold on, and we want to make sure that we have control. And God says, I just want you to have some faith and let go. And let me let go and let God. You've heard that before probably. But tonight, this dying requires faith. It requires you to let go of what you want out of life. It requires you to stop trying to be in control and just let God take the reins and let God be the one to be the driver tonight in your life. But this dying requires faith. Number two, this dying requires sacrifice. This dying requires sacrifice. Matthew chapter 16, you don't have to turn there with me. But Matthew chapter number 16, it's in verse number 24 through 27 says this, then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man, or for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Just like Jesus willingly gave his life for you and me on the cross of Calvary, decided, you know what, this is worth it. Each and every one of you, he said tonight, you are worth it. I'm going to willingly give my life so that you can die and go to heaven. Just an incredible thing to think about. But Jesus wants you now to willingly sacrifice your life. And give your life and put your life on the altar and say, God, my life's yours. I'm not, I think about this. It's something that we have to do each and every day. But God says it's a willing sacrifice. He doesn't want to have to fight you. He doesn't want to have to take, he's not going to either. He's not going to take it from you. He wants you to willingly give your life. And you can read many times in the Bible as it talks about, you know, if you're going to try to keep your life, and you're gonna try to make it do your own, and you're gonna try to keep the steering wheel of your life and control your life, and make sure that you know you have all the answers, and I know better. And God says, "Well, you can do that. That's your choice, but you're gonna lose it. You're gonna lose it, and that's a promise of God right there. Many times He says that over and over again. I think three or four different times in the different ways He says it. You're gonna lose it." If you try to keep it, if you try to somehow save your life and do it your way, God says, either way, you're going to lose. Either way. And the Bible says here that for what whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Either way, you're going to lose. Either way. But if you lose your life for the Lord's sake, the Bible says, you'll have a life. You'll have a life more than you ever had before. You'll have a life that's better than what you had in mind and the ideas that you might have come up with. But tonight, can I ask you, what are you sacrificing to serve the Lord? I know this idea of sacrificing your life, God wants us to do that, but God also wants us to sacrifice some things in our life to give Him. He wants control of some different things in your life, and you know there's certain things that we're good at, you know, saying, "Yeah, God, you can take care of that. I'll do that for you. I'll go to church." You know, that's not really a sacrifice. God's telling us we're supposed to do that. But what's tonight? What are you sacrificing to serve the Lord? Are you just doing the things for the Lord when it fits into your schedule? Is it coming to church? Is coming to church good enough for you? Or are you willing to make some sacrifices to the Lord? Remember this: He only died for you. He only gave his life for you, and he shed his blood, and you know, that's it. You know, and all he wants is for you to just sacrifice some things in your life, some things that he's asked of you and he's put on your heart. Some things that God's put on your heart is different than somebody else's. And sometimes we think, you know, oh, well, he hasn't done that. God's laid something on your heart, and you look at everybody else, well, they haven't done that yet. And God said, no, 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 I want you to do this. I want you to sacrifice this. And tonight, I know God's laid something on each and every one of your hearts. He's laid something on my heart that he says, this year 2025, this is something I want out of you. Not out of them. This is something I want out of you. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's God's wanting some of your time this year, a little bit more. Maybe God's wanting you to financially give a little bit more to something. Maybe God's wanting you to spend some time with somebody in the church. Maybe God's wanting you to maybe be a part of the bus ministry if you've never been a part of that. Maybe God's wanting you to be a part of soul winning if you've never joined that. Maybe God's just asking something of you tonight, and you have to look at it as a sacrifice. You have to look at this and say, you know what? It's not something I want to do. It's not something I want to give up. This is not time that I want to give up. But God's saying, this is what I want out of you. This dying requires sacrifice. It requires you to make some sacrifices that you might not be willing to make, but God is asking of you tonight. Like I said, he only died for you. It should be enough. And next, this dying brings forth fruit. This dying brings forth fruit. In John chapter number 12, go with me to John. John chapter number 12, in verse number 23. John chapter 12, verse number 23. This dying brings forth fruit. John chapter 12, verse 23, the Bible says, "And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Tonight, this dying brings forth fruit. I love how it talks about that as a corn of wheat here. And it goes really well with out here in the corn illustration, which corn is gone right now, right? No corn out there in the fields. But this idea, which is actually perfect because the corn's die. It's dead, right? If the corn dies, something can grow from the seed. But if it doesn't die, nothing can happen. No seed can be produced. No growth can come from anything until it dies. And God says, this is just like your life. Until you decide to give me your life and just die, die to your flesh, die to the things that you want out of life, die to your sinful flesh, die to your wants, your desires, the things that we have plans and things that we just want out of life. And God says, no, you're going to have to die to that. You're going to have to just give it over to me. And I appreciate missionaries so much who decide that, you know what, they're just going to follow God. They're just going to leave everything that they know. And we had a missionary out of our church just this 2 years ago now leave our church and decide to go to Japan. And just an incredible example to our church and our families, just to see somebody who's grown up in our, not grown up, but just been in our church for years since I was a teenager, and to just follow God's will, to leave family, friends, everything that they've known, and decide, you know what? It's worth it. It's worth that life rather than the life that I might want right now. Rather than the life that I want my kids to be around my family, or their family, you know, and their friends, and everything that they have here, and we kind of build something, you know, and God says, yep, yeah, that's not what I want. That's not the life that I have for you. And it's hard for us to see how something could be happier, right, in that version, in God's version of life, than the life that we have. But God says, it's time for you to understand that you got to die to that in order to have the fulfilled life that I have for you. And that's hard. That's hard. It's not something I don't believe every Christian gets there. Yes, we're saved, and yes, we're going to heaven, and yes, you have eternal life, but I don't think every Christian gets to that 100% fulfilled will of God, because we continue to fight God. Yes, you're saved, but you're not fulfilling that life that God really has. Yeah, you might be in a will of God, an acceptable will of God, and God's been trying to pull on your heart and trying to get you to lose some things and to leave something behind, and we hold on to so much, and God's just trying to give you something that's better than what you have. And until we understand that, we don't have the life that God wants for us, but this life, it'll bring forth fruit. And I think about, you know, anybody who has led people to the Lord, and we get to have testimonies. You have testimonies here sometime, I'm sure. And hear how somebody leads somebody to the Lord, and hears you lead a young person to the Lord, and maybe goes out soul winning or on the bus route or anywhere out and about, and you get to hear those testimonies. And sometimes we go, man, I want that testimony. I want to have a testimony where I lead somebody to the Lord. But I promise you tonight, the people that get to be used of God and get to see God use them, they get to see that because they've died to themselves. They've decided, you know, I'm going to let God use me. I'm going to let God use me in the bus ministry. I became the another thing this year. I became the bus director at our church, and I've been involved in the bus ministry my whole life, and definitely one of the greatest ministries of a church, and I know Blessed Hope agrees with that, and just incredible to see results in the bus ministry. And we have families in our church, and I know, I think you guys got to see Brother Lofa during the teen, one of those teen night things that you had, a testimony of one of our young people, and God has used it so much. And but God doesn't use people until they decide, you know what, my life, Lord, is yours to control. He can't use somebody who isn't moldable, who's hardened, right? And their heart is hardened, and their heart, they just want to hold on to everything. God just says, man, let me use you. Let me have your life tonight. And tonight, if you want a testimony where you can lead people to the Lord and you can see God use you, tonight you got to die. You have to die to your wants, your desires, your things out of life. And God says, you'll start to see some fruit. You'll start to see some major fruit when you start to just give it all to me and let me have you. And I'll turn you into something that you would have never dreamed of. And lastly tonight, and like I've already said it, this dying, we must die every day. We must die every day. This isn't something where you do at the beginning of the year and you say, you know what, this year my New Year's resolution is to die to myself. That's a great resolution. I hope you stick to that. But this has to be done every day. This, as a Christian, as a young person, anybody in here in this room, all the way up to the oldest one in this room, you have to die daily. Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 15:31 at the end, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I die daily. It's not something where you've come to a perfect, you know, Christianity in your life and now you don't have to die daily. No, you have to give it over to God every day. And I heard a message on, you know, giving young people, giving your body to the Lord every day. Lord, these hands are yours. These feet, Lord, are yours. This morning, I'm going to give it all to you. I don't want to fall into the temptations of the world today. I don't want to fall into the temptations the devil has out there for me today, Lord. I'm going to give it all to you today. Every day. That God requires it every day. Because if you don't, you're going to slip up. You're going to fall. You're going to stumble. You're going to ruin your family, men, right? There's so many traps and things out there that the world is so, the devil's trying so hard to get us men and to make us fall and to set a snare for us and to ruin the relationships in church and to draw us away from our family and all the different things that he can do to blow up a church. God, the devil is trying overtime to constantly blow this church up. I know that. He's constantly trying to blow our church up. Any church that he can and use the men or use the young people, use the ladies, anybody that he can that is not decided to consecrate their life to the Lord each and every day and to die and to let God take control, he's waiting for those people because he knows those are the ones that are not, that are the weak ones. When you don't give your life to God each and every day and you don't die daily, he knows he can get you. He knows he can get me when we decide that, you know, we can handle it. I can drive. I can be the one in control. The devil knows he's stronger than you and I. And if we don't let God take control tonight, he knows he can get us. But tonight, as I close, tonight you aren't born again to sit and do nothing. You're not born again to waste your life on your own endeavors. You are not born again to go and make a lot of money, even though that's a good thing. You can do that. It's okay. But tonight you are born again to die. You have been saved by the almighty hand of God. You owe him everything. You and I owe him everything. And tonight, I hope that you think about 2025 and this year, and you look forward and you say, this year I want to give God more than I ever have. More than I did in 2024 and 2023 and any other year, Lord, I want to give you everything. I want to die to myself this year. I just want to see how much you can use me. And I hope we all go into that this year and think about, Lord, I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what it holds for America and for the rest of the world. I hope phenomenal things. I hope I have made a lot of hope in that. But tonight, in your life, how much do you want to see God use you? How much do you want to see what can God, not in a prideful way, but want to be used of God? I hope you want to be used of God. I hope you want to see God move through you and see somebody saved. That's the most incredible thing. I know many of you have seen people saved in this church, but man, to see somebody saved is the greatest thing in this entire world. Yeah. Anytime you get to lead a young person to the Lord, the last time I, last bus kid that I got to lead to the Lord a couple weeks ago, it was just a sad situation. But he was in tears after he got saved, and I got to lead him to the Lord, and he was tearing up right when through the whole prayer he was crying, and that just makes it all even more special because you can see that he got it. But after he got done getting saved, he then told me about his home life. He told me about how his mom is a lesbian and brings in women to their house and all this different stuff. And I'm just, broken for him. And then I wanted to, really dig into him and get him into church on the night services and all that. And next time I go to visit him, which was the very next week, find out he moved. And I just broke my heart and just understand, man, we don't have, we might not have another chance to win young people to the Lord. You might not have another day to go out there and live for the Lord and to be an example and to try to lead somebody to the Lord. How many people did you have in 2023 on your account this year? That if you died this year, how many would have gone to heaven because of you, because of what you've done this year? How much you've invested in, distributing tracts, and obviously we don't know, we're never going to know how much is done until we get to heaven that maybe you impacted or I impacted. But tonight, I hope you're making a decision tonight. You're going to decide, I'm going to die to myself. This life is too short to live for yourself, to live for your own ambitions. Man, that passage where the barn parable where it talks about the guy who, he building his barns and, he got more things. And so he said, I'm going to tear these all down. I'm going to build bigger. And then he dies, right? This is the idea of life. And too many times I see somebody in church or somebody that could be used, man, so everybody else can see it, how much they could be used of the Lord. And yet their whole life is about their endeavors and the next thing. And, they're going to build this or they're going to do this. They're going to go out and get this. And they don't have time for soul winning because they got to go do this. And they got time for the best ministry because they got to go do this. And everything is about them and their next thing in life. And God's just like, it's not about that. That's not what this is about. Yeah, you can do all those things, but how much of your life and all those things are you going to remember when you get to heaven? The only thing that I love that idea, the Bible says only what's done for Christ will last. I hope you think about that in 2025 and give your life and say, God, this year I'm going to die. I'm going to give it all to you. In 2025, I'm going to go all out for you this year. Give it to him and he'll make something special of it. Let's pray this evening. Dear Lord, we love you. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us, Lord, on the cross. Lord, I cherish the old record cross, Lord, and what you've done for us and your blood and willingly giving your life for us so that we can go to heaven. We don't have to die and go to hell. We don't have to spend eternity in that fire. Lord, I pray you'd help us to think about that this year as we go into 2025 now, Lord, that you would help us to give it all for you. Leave it all on the line, Lord. I pray that you would just help us to be Christians, Lord, fully consecrated to you. Help us to understand, Lord, that the things that we have in this life are temporary. Lord, we are just a traveling through. We're just a passing through. Help us not to try to invest so much time and money and energy into the things of this life, Lord, that we miss out on the opportunities to live for you and to serve you and to lay up treasures in heaven, Lord, where moth and rust doesn't corrupt, Lord. I pray you'd help us to live for you this year. Help us to go all out in your name.